Wendy Bell. Inspiring solutions to save America. One show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump. Desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. Which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
All right, hour two of the Wendy Bell Radio Program is official now and on the clock. Did you hear in our open Rush Limbaugh's voice? They can't separate you from Make America Great Again. That's it. That's the whole point of all of this. There is no wavering in those values, my friends. It's not open for debate. I'm not here to negotiate. It's America first. It's America best. Always. You don't have children so that they can be average. You don't want to just be mediocre. You don't teach your children how to phone it in, how to skate by, how to cut corners, how to lie, cheat, steal, bend the rules. It's not what's baked into who we are. And yet what we have is the culmination of that kind of personality in Congress. Now, we've split this up. It's a full hour. So you can hear exactly what happened, the various voices, the things that they talked about. And I got to say, as maddening as it's been for us, because we've been paying attention, as maddening clearly as it's been for Tony Bobulinski, who's been ensnared in the Biden crime family for far too long and blew the whistle on them, the Democrats refuse to have a reasonable approach to this. They're not interested in the facts. They're not interested in the truth. They're not interested in America. And because of that, they're not interested in you. And you will hear that. But House Republicans, more surgically, went through this. A various group of people, various voices, I should say, that you need to hear. Matt Gaetz, Tim Burchett, Jason Smith, Jim Jordan. Those are the voices you're going to hear representing the Republican Party. Tell us, Mr. Bobulinski, without equivocation, is blank such and such, yes or no? That's what I want to hear. That's what you're going to get. Now, Matt Gaetz is going to talk about this out of the gate. He's going to say, you know what? Mr. Bobulinski, and all of them have, what, 4 or 5 minutes, whatever it is, to ask their questions, and it bounces. Republican to Democrat to Republican to Democrat. The Democrats have scripted out statements. They grandstand. They blow hard incessantly. And they demonize the people who are sitting in front of them to testify. It's disgusting. It is typical. It's what we expect. Here's Matt Gaetz, and listen to Tony Bobulinski in this first audio soundbite when he describes kind of the moment he realized that not only was the Biden crime family operating a crime, Hunter Biden had scammed him as well. Listen.
I didn't know till years later that they had defrauded me. They had gotten paid all this money and all this craziness. The amount of facts.
It just seems pretty simple. This is either a bribe or a business.
It was a bribe from the Chinese Communist Party.
And
I don't say that lightly. There's 1,200 pages, 8 days of testimony in the Southern District of New York. I encourage everyone watching me, hearing me say this, they're publicly available. Go read them. Our Department of Justice outlines in intimate detail the corruption and bribes that CFC was deploying to political officials all over the world.
It wasn't
so
just in
I'm
the
here
United
to
States.
Believe that they did this in every other country, but with the Biden family, it was pristine. It was an actual clean business. That's absurd.
Absolutely preposterous, he says. This was a bribe from the Communist Party, the Chinese Communist Party. Can you imagine? Donald Trump was impeached over a phone call. A phone call. A phone call overheard by a sniveling Alexander Vindman, who I'm sure now is a best-selling author for the New York Times, right? If Donald Trump had been accused of taking a bribe from the Communist Chinese Party, can you imagine? And everybody on the left expects you to roll over, pretend that you don't know, that you didn't see, hear, or know anything about the Biden crime family corruption, the suspicious activity reports, the millions of dollars, the incremental deposits, all of it. They know. Everybody knows. Representative Tim Burchin continues, and he asks about the shaking down Biden, shaking Hunter Biden, shaking down the Chinese for $10 million. Exactly how did that go down, Mr. Bobulinski? Go.
At the end of July, it's important to note, Jim Biden was broke. Hunter Biden was broke. Published by the brave whistleblower Shapley and Ziegler. And Hunter made the conscious decision to basically defraud the partners of Sinohawk Holdings and Oneida because he needed money immediately. They've published pages of text messages where he's trying to get money into his bank account. And so that night, for whatever reason, on the 30th, when he asked why hasn't the commitment been fulfilled, the commitment he's talking about is actually the $10 million funding into Sinohawk Holdings LLC. Really key point. But the next day, he decides that he's going to defraud Sinohawk Holdings in Oneida, create a new entity called Hudson West 3. Well, actually, change Hudson West 3. It had already previously been created by the Chinese, and make himself a 50% owner in that entity. So when the Chinese did send money, he would have instant access to it. Really important, backed up with tens of pages of communications. He wanted to get access to the money the second it came in.
But it's Donald Trump who is being fined $450 million for not committing a crime, for not hurting anyone. And Joe Biden and his crime family can enrich themselves by at least $10 million just from the Chinese. And they run out. The likes of Dan Goldman and Jamie Raskin and Jared Moskowitz and others to run interference and lie. This is where we are. And it continues. Jason Smith, he's the head of the House Ways and Means Committee, a relative unknown before the Republicans regained control of the chamber. Jason Smith says this. Was Hunter Biden telling the truth when he testified under oath that Joe was never involved? Listen.
You testified that Hunter was not shy about his ability to get his father on the phone. And Devin Archer testified that there were multiple instances in which Hunter placed his dad on speakerphone. Mr. Bobulinski, was Hunter Biden telling the truth when he testified under oath that his father was never involved in any of his business dealings?
No, he was not. Those are all blatant lies.
No, he was not. Those were blatant lies. Tim Burchett picks up the ball and continues. You know what? CEFC, that Chinese energy company that they were trying to sell natural gas to here, the wells, the pipelines, all of it, Hunter, through Westinghouse, said they were willing to work with the family to talk about a confidential matter. Mr. Bobulinski, do you know what that was about? Go.
On July 31st, the next day, Hunter says he hopes Kevin should know that the plan to speak is highly confidential. And Raymond Zeller responded, CEFC is willing to cooperate with the family and the priorities to solve the problems mentioned last night. What family was Raymond Zeller talking about?
Was it the family was the Biden family, and more importantly in that text is what is he talking about is the confidential manner. The confidential matter he's talking about were four sealed indictments in the SDNY where they were about to indict executives of CEFC that we now know. I didn't know that in July of 2017, but the SDNY knew. Charles McGonigal, who's now apparently going to serve 78 months in prison, ran counterintelligence for the FBI in New York City, where Chairman Yee was dropping $50 million of cash for penthouses in Manhattan. So who you should be asking all these questions are the Department of Justice, the SDNY, the FBI, because they have troves of evidence that back up what was going on in July 2017 and in August 2017. So I apologize, Congressman, to be so passionate and to take your time, but this is what I need you guys, or the focus has to be of your oversight committee. This involved the Chinese Communist Party. They were doing a transaction with Rosneft, which was a Russian-sanctioned U.S. sanctioned company at the time, and the Biden family was right front and center in the middle of it.
Which is why Donald Trump has been indicted four times, which is why that occupies your news space, which is why that is supposed to gobble up all of the oxygen, because all of these people were in on it, and they're all freaking covering it up, and it disgusts me. How could you be a Democrat today? Quick timeout. We'll be right back on the Wendy Bell Radio program. Welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio program. Let's get this sound in before we run out of time. Jim Jordan with a very special question, very simple question of Tony Bobulinski, who is part of the Biden crime family syndicate. Go.
Mr. Bobulinski, who's the big guy? Are you sure about that? Because when
Joe Biden,
you're sure?
I'm 1,000% sure.
Because when Hunter Biden did his deposition under oath, he said, I don't know who it is, even though he was copied on an email that said H will hold 10% for the big guy. You sure it's the big guy is Joe Biden?
1,000%. And there's other text messages that back that up, that the brave whistleblowers Shapley and Ziegler have produced, not from my phones, not from my BlackBerry that I took screenshots from. They took them from subpoenas directly from Apple's iCloud that back up the fact that Hunter knew the big guy was Joe Biden.
The big guy is the brand. The big guy is the lift. The big guy is the one who showed up at golf outings, who did took phone calls and meetings and lunches and dinners with Hunter Biden and his business associates. Is that right?
Correct.
Period. Now, isn't it so interesting that Peter Navarro is serving 4 months in prison while Hunter Biden just bounces on this and there's no penalty to him? With liberty and justice for some, apparently. This is where Jason Smith comes back in, House Ways and Means. He's got a very basic fiscal question for Mr. Bobulinski. It comes down to the dollars and cents. Go.
Mr. Bobulinski, do you know whether the Biden family made any money from China?
They did. Millions of dollars. I think approximately $8 to $9 million. Whew.
The Biden family has made millions of dollars from China, correct?
Correct.
And you said at least 9 million?
Yeah, I think it's actually over 10 million, but I'll leave those details up to you guys.
And then Matt Gaetz, and speaking about Mr. Bobulinski coming forward yet again as a whistleblower, as a document providing, proof providing whistleblower. You know, Mr. Bobulinski, as uncomfortable as this is, it's almost like somebody who loves America, who believes in making America great again, would have to come forward or be unpatriotic. Listen.
You saw that this wasn't just a corrupt bribe, a corrupt business deal happening to a guy who used to be vice president. when you see that Joe, everyone's made a big deal like you're a bad guy that you showed up at the debate, or you're trying to give life to these facts that you've observed, that it's so bad that you did that during a political contest. But observing this, it kind of seems like it would be unpatriotic for you to stay quiet.
Of course.
And so, I mean, Joe Biden running for president clearly motivated the Chinese to consummate this bribe. Did it also motivate you?
Well, I didn't want to go public. I wanted to simply unload all the facts, personal experiences. It's funny, there's 18 people on this committee with law degrees, including, I think, Mr. Swalwell. Evidence, firsthand testimony, is the most powerful evidence you have. I've given it, Mr. Galanis has given it, along with a whole host of other witnesses. Then, on top of that, I have thousands of documents and pages of legals and stuff
well,
like that.
Well, that's what's interesting,
I wanted
Mr.
to simply
Bobulinski.
Give this information
yeah.
to Congressmen
but that's
and
the thing.
Senators.
No
and
one questioned any of your facts. Yeah. No one brought a single piece of evidence that even for a moment discredited any of the truthful testimony that you've given us.
No, they
my
did
time's
not.
Expired. I yield back.
How many times has he sat there? How many times have I told you the same stories? How much did John Paul McIsaac just want somebody to pay attention to him? I have this hard drive. There's stuff on here that's disgusting. This is huge. And what did they do? They gunned for him. He feared for his life. Because in America today, you have to if you blow the whistle. What? Finally, Tony Bobulinski, at least in this section, before a break, implores the members of the committee to pay attention and to focus on what is going on, not the theatrical performance of High School Musical Edition 17.4. Focus. Joe Biden is a traitor. He is a sellout. And we are all in danger because of it. Go.
My biggest appeal to everyone in this room is I wish you would spend the time focusing on the fact that the Chinese Communist Party infiltrated the White House of the United States of America through the Biden family. I don't say that lightly. It's not a joke. I was willing to die for this country, as was my father and both my grandfathers and my brother. This is serious, serious stuff. We should be asking how that happened. Take the Biden name and the Biden family completely out of it. How did the Chinese Communist Party infiltrate the White House of the United States of America? Let's start there. Focus on those facts, what they did, how they did it, why they used money, why they used private enterprises instead of military stuff and other stuff. That is huge to our national security.
And that involves many probing questions in the Southern District of New York, the Department of Justice and the FBI, and a bunch of people you're going to be hearing from right after this next commercial break. Because then it's the Democrats' turn. What are their probing questions? Do they care about the truth, or are they committed to a cover-up, smokescreen, suck? You decide next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio program. So each half hour, I kind of give a little synopsis I have to pass along to our podcast producer, Bob Sloan, who puts out the Wendy Bell Radio podcast every day. Get it if you haven't yet. It's super easy to take with you. Just download it onto your device and then boom, we're there every single day. More than 2 million downloads strong, but I usually put some kind of a title. And the title of this particular segment is The Ship of Fools has Capsized. Like, you know, Hank Johnson's Guam. We have all these boobs, these people who demand, and they demand our respect. They think they deserve it, but they don't do anything to represent us or our values. And you're really going to hear it in a degree to which it's exhausting. I will give it to you. It is exhausting. Tony Bobulinski, former associate of the Biden crime family syndicate, whistleblower. He's come forward, has for years. He's testified all sorts of times about this. He has to sit. Hunter Biden is supposed to be there too, but Hunter is bounced because, you know, why would he be held accountable for being a scumbag if his dad, scumbag in chief? Look, that's not, I'm not trying to be like That's not funny to me. I don't think it's provocative to call the president of the United States a dirtball. But he is. A demented one. A demented product of the Communist Chinese Party, who is a traitor to these United States. So before this even starts, Tony Bobulinski is going to torch Representative Ro Khanna, who has apparently bounced from this, has gotten up and left this hearing, even though this is what everybody's waiting for. This is the conversation that leads the breadcrumbs to the yes or no, are we going to vote to impeach Joe Biden? At this point, one could argue, would doing so, if you could get the ball over the finish line, right? If you could get over into the end zone, is it even worth it? And we could have an argument all day about that. But Tony Bobulinski absolutely torches Ro Khanna here because Bobulinski sat down with Ro Khanna and many of the others who are Democrats in that committee hearing and gave them all of the details of the fraud and the crimes and the suck months before the election in 2020. And they sat on it like dutiful dirtbags. This is in response to a question by Byron Donalds. Listen.
I'd just actually like to spend 20 seconds. If you noticed, Congressman Khanna scurried out of here very quickly. And I'm actually disgusted as I sit here that he didn't address me based on the fact that I'm sitting here in front of the world trying to testify to the truth. In October 2020, I have messages I'm willing to produce to both the Democrats and the Republicans that Ro Khanna sent to me saying, you've always demonstrated to me that you're nothing but an honest with the highest integrity individual. And I was begging for him to go on CNN and tell the world in October 2020. I have extensive emails with Congressman Ro Khanna in 2021 and 2022 where I begged him and his staff to sit down with me and look at my BlackBerry phones that the Democrats are so focused on, to hire forensics experts and go through all of the factual information I had. So the fact that he did not even address me and then scurried out of here is disgusting to me. All right. Sorry, Mr. Donalds.
Democrats are not interested in the truth. They're interested in covering up crimes. Can you imagine if Ro Khanna and others had sat down with Tony Bobulinski and had gone through actually and heard and listened and did their due diligence and served the people of these United States as demanded by their oath of office? Take that freaking flag pin off your lapel, Congressman Khanna, you hack. Only to be outdone in the short term here by Dan Goldman. Dan, who tries to corner Tony Bobulinski on a text message about Hunter Biden holding 10% for the big guy. Did anybody ever respond to that text, Mr. Bobulinski? And when Tony drops the details, Dan Goldman's face melts off and he begs desperately for Chairman Comer, intervene, make it stop. It's amazing. The truth is a phenomenal antiseptic. Go.
You provided the committee with a screenshot of a text message that is between James Gilliard and you, dated May 11th, 2017. You see this? I don't know if you can see it. If you can't see, it's just you and James Gilliard, though, right? You remember this text message, I'm sure.
Generally, yes.
All right. And in it, Gilliard writes, man, you are right. Let's get the company set up, then tell H and family the high stakes and get Joe involved. And 2 days later, Mr. Gilliard sent an email to you, CCing Rob Walker and Hunter Biden, in which he suggested a division of the company and included a proposal of, quote, 10% held by H for the big guy, question mark. You remember that, right?
The infamous email with the big guy? Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Did anyone ever respond to that email?
Yes, they did, numerous times.
Sorry.
Hunter Biden himself did.
Excuse me. You're right.
Well, no, I think that's important because Hunter Biden has claimed that he didn't respond to it, and he responded to it, I believe.
You're just
going to
filibuster. I reclaim my time that's running out. But I will say, no one responded to the big guy reference for 10.
Thank you for making my point. They didn't have to respond because
then,
they all knew the big guy was Joe Biden.
I reclaim my time. Mr. Chairman, please control the witness.
Please control the witness. He's answering the question, and I haven't been able to corner him effectively. And he just made me look like a liar because that's what I am, a liar. Oh, no. Right? You're just going to filibuster. Telling the truth and answering your question is not filibustering. It is when you're grasping at straws and you know you're on the losing side. Of suck. The ship of fools has capsized, but not before this. Jared Moskowitz, the guy who wore a Putin mask to the hearing, tries to get Jim Jordan and Jamie Comer as the respective heads of the committees to just call for an impeachment. Let's just pass all of this by. We don't need to hear all of this. Why, Jared? Is it because it's blisteringly horrible for you and the liberals here? Is that what it is? Listen to this.
Look, Chairman, we got like 3.5 minutes here. I mean, let's just do the impeachment. I mean, why continue to waste millions of dollars of the taxpayers' money if we're going to impeach because you believe you've shown he's committed a high crime and misdemeanor? What are you waiting on? Let's just do it. I mean, by the way, we got Chairman Jordan here also, the double chairman. Why aren't you guys calling for the vote in your committee? When is it going to happen? When can we tell the American people you're going to stop wasting their money and just call for the vote on impeachment?
Gentlemen, you?
Sure.
We don't do snap impeachments like you guys. We actually do the facts. We do oversight according
to the
Constitution.
You're never going to call for it. You're never going to call for it.
Boom. Jared, you look scared. You should be. Because America is watching. They've seen the evidence. Same way the black community is seeing what's been going on generationally. And now, the frying pan to the forehead as millions of migrants come in to replace them. Everybody sees what's going on. It's a bad look for you. And he comes back. Jared Moskowitz does with a very simple question. Go.
Do you believe he should be impeached?
I do.
Okay, and you believe that because you believe Chairman Comer has proven that he committed a high crime and misdemeanor.
No, because I know that he committed high crimes and misdemeanors.
Okay.
I was involved and saw them happen.
I was there, you little nerd. You little self-aggrandizing twerp. I watched it happen. I was part of it. Don't you see? Here's Jasmine Crockett. I don't know whoever decided to make this woman anything other than a toxic witch. All she wants to do is impugn Tony Bobulinski's credibility. And she asserts that he's auditioning for The Apprentice. These are not Democrats who give a rip about facts or truth or anything. These are High School Musical B-rate players. Go.
It seems like my colleagues and maybe you and some others are trying to become the next vice president of the United States of America. You're auditioning or something like that because, Mr. Bobulinski, I know that you take exception to the fact that your credibility has been called into question over and over. But when someone comes to testify under oath, whether it's before this committee, behind closed doors, or in person, then we have to evaluate someone's credibility. And, sir, I definitely have always had issues with your credibility, as I know that you are very well aware of. So let me remind you of what happened behind closed doors.
You should ask Ro Khanna about my credibility.
Okay?
You are?
I haven't. So oh, when I okay, ask I'm you a sorry. Question, that's when you answer. Otherwise, I'm talking. So,
wow.
Excuse me. With my time.
Wow.
Because it's my time.
That, my friends, is a liberal woman. That's what you get. God, I'm sure she lives with cats. You don't think? Brock doesn't think she's a cat person. This is what you get. Now, before we go into this next commercial break, I want to drop on, that is so gross, by the way, to go after the integrity of a witness rather than actually have any kind of intellectual curiosity, because you're being used as a pawn of the Democrat Party, Jasmine, and you're too dumb to see it. What a crying shame. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez may just trump her in the dumb woman category today. Go ahead.
Is it your testimony today that you personally witnessed President Joe Biden commit a crime?
I believe the fact that he was sitting with me while I was putting together a business
deal. Did you witness the president commit a crime? Is it your testimony today?
Yes.
And what crime do you have you witnessed?
How much time do I have to go through?
It is simple. You name the crime. Did you watch him steal something?
Corruption statutes, RICO, and conspiracy.
What is it? What is FARA. What is the crime, sir?
Specifically. You asked me to answer the question. I answered the question.
No.
RICO, you're obviously not familiar with. Corruption
Excuse
statutes.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse FARA. Me, sir. Excuse me, sir. RICO is not a crime. It is a category. What is the
category of crimes that you're then charged?
You have charges.
A long hundred.
You have charges, statute. Sir. Yeah. Please
you want me to
name
the exact statute under RICO.
Yes.
Well, it's funny. In this committee room, everyone's not here. There's over 18
All right, sir. I reclaim my
lawyers
time.
That went to law school.
I reclaim my time.
RICO is not a crime. It's a category. Somebody better call Donald Trump and his lawyers. Because last time I checked, they're using that as a crime against him. Oh boy. Do not go anywhere because we're not done with this yet. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. It's so interesting to get the takeaway of AOC's like mental breakdown after Tony Bobulinski runs circles around him. And I love this article. Hunter Biden demanding a hearing on Capitol Hill doesn't show up for it. Well, maybe he should have because his allies in the Democratic caucus aren't really handling things all that well. And you've got to admit, this is the gift that keeps on giving. Tony Bobulinski's testimony once again producing must-see moments, this time involving AOC. Now, the Congresswoman, as you just heard, tried to pin the witness down on noting specific crimes he witnessed Hunter and Joe Biden commit. I'm pretty sure she wasn't expecting him to be ready with an actual answer because he triggered her harder than a long day at the range. And it's true. And just the first 2 minutes, we just played for you the first 2 minutes of this. Because you know what? Donald Trump, according to Newsmax, he should really question those charges after AOC declares, Newsweek, I should say, after AOC declares RICO not a crime. That's fascinating, don't you think? So as AOC said, that racketeer-influenced and corrupt organization is not a crime, sparking questions online over former President Donald Trump's RICO charges in Georgia. It seems Newsweek is doing its due diligence and is talking about this. Bobulinski, as you heard, saying, yes, you asked me to answer the question. Did Joe Biden commit a crime? Yes. And I answered the question, RICO, you're obviously not familiar with corruption. Of course, before he could continue, she interjected saying, excuse me, sir, RICO is not a crime, but a category. What is the crime? Well, Newsweek, finally reached out to Ocasio-Cortez's office for comment. Obviously hasn't heard anything back. But all sorts of people are blowing up X right now saying, really? Because if it's not a crime, but a category, as Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez suggests, then Donald Trump should be bounced from that case. Facts. Now, this is interesting. So the beginning of the program, I told you, the theme today is used and abused. It's people out there like the gal from the Young Turks who realizes that as a liberal, America is not safe. What are we doing? She says, what are we effing doing? She's awakening. You heard the black voters giving you a history lesson on slavery and the Ku Klux Klan. These are figments and fragments of history on the left, not the right. And now you've got this. This is the moment. CNN realizes, oopsies, it's on the wrong side of America. Here's Abby Phillip. She's the news hack. talking to Hakeem Jeffries, and she's dropping these numbers. Look, Hakeem, these numbers for Joe Biden among the minority populations are horrendous. Does this mean that your messaging isn't really hitting the mark? So she's wakening a little bit, sort of, not really, and all he's got is the line that has been handed to him that doesn't sell. Go.
I want to show you this New York Times Siena College poll that found that both Black and Hispanic voters say that Donald Trump's policies have helped them more than Joe Biden's policies by pretty wide margins, especially when you look at Hispanic voters. Is that alarming to you that nothing that the Biden campaign has said or done to this point has brought that at least closer than it is right now in this polling?
The Biden administration has an incredible track record of support and making sure that it is working at all times to build an economy from the middle out and the bottom up, as opposed to the top down.
What does that mean to any of you? What does that mean to any of you? Does that mean anything? Does that mean your prices are coming down? Does that mean that your children, who are Generation Z, are going to be able to afford a house anytime soon? What does that mean? Does that mean you're going to be able to save more for the future, that you're safer, that education's better? No, Hakeem. It means you suck. And you know you suck. How about this? CNN still, Jared Bernstein, he's the White House hack, who's the chair of the White House Council of Economic Advisors. And the CNN news person is like, look, it's obvious that America's not pleased with your economy. Is it maybe time to change the strategy? Because middle out, bottom up, and all the other things that you're saying about Bidenomics working, it's not working, Jared. Listen.
I had the Treasury Secretary on the show right after the State of the Union address, and I asked her why polling isn't showing that people give Joe Biden credit for good things happening in the economy. And Yellen said, essentially, we need to explain what the president is doing to improve people's lives. I've heard that repeatedly from Democrats and the administration as to why voters say they don't feel good about the Biden economy. Do you think at this point, Jared, that we just need to promote his accomplishments more strategy, maybe falling flat?
I don't know about that. That all sounds like a very strategic communications kind of question, and it's a valid one. What I can tell you is that what you just prescribed there is exactly what we're doing. In fact, what we're doing as you and I speak.
In fact, we're sucking right now, right here on this live show. What we should be doing together to help sell Joe Biden. There is no spin. They got the wrong people. They have corrupt, traitorous people. They have people who should be in prison instead of the January Sixers. You have people who've committed actual crimes. And those people, by the way, are named Biden. Biden. Jared. Now, it's so interesting. If Democrats or the media, which they're the same, sorry, if they cared about one of anything other than all this garbage optics and forcing stuff on our children and dragging down the quality of education and putting us at a disadvantage generationally, right? They would stop pushing this DEI nonsense. Well, Washington Governor Jay Inslee just signed something into law you need to know about. As a Harvard professor, also accused of plagiarism, now says that racism or marriage isn't just racist, that two-parent nuclear family is too. Oh my goodness. Buckle up. We'll be back in moments on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.